sex. How about that? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today, entitled, Sex. In the graduate graduate school, working on your doctoral papers, one of the courses teaches about sex. And it teaches it in a very fascinating way, making it to be so alluring and so wonderful. And I'd like to check with you on what that chapter says. It's a couple of pages here. It says, page 42 to page 46. Okay, actually, so 42, 43, 44, 45. So just four pages. It starts out, sex is one of the most dominant drives of the human complex. It stems from the desire to love, to be loved, to share, and to be shared. It is an experience of compassion in the world of the human man, which understands the problem of another and sympathizes with it and commiserates with it, thereby becoming part of it. Truly, we live in a sexless universe, a universe which creates by ideation, by ideas, by thoughts, by imagings, by visualization of experiences, and thus they are brought out into expression. Knowing those two paragraphs, we get the whole story. Mm-hmm. We don't need another word. But I got windy and went on. We only think that we make things happen. We only think that our actions bring about results in our lives. We more readily know that our thoughts are the powerhouse of the world in which we live, and demonstrate their effectiveness in the appearances about us. Sex has been thought necessary for procreation. Man creates through his thought. Many will childishly say that he has yet to see an infant born unless a sperm and an egg are joined together by some action or other. This is termed sex by the populace. The Dictionary of Mankind defines sex as the differentiation between the organisms of male or female and as sexual intercourse. Our objective world tells us that men and women do not have bodies which objectively appear to be different, that they do have bodies which objectively appear to be different from one another in some degrees, but in a limited degree. Our scientific community tells us that within every man and or woman are the hormones of both male and female. Within both exists the other, biologically speaking. The second definition is the one which usually takes the attention of man as he thinks about this generally enjoyable occupation of sexual intercourse. Man has always felt he had to reach out to touch another. This sensitive nature must be admitted to. It must be experienced. It must be enjoyed. It is part and parcel of being called man. The compassionate nature of man demands that he feel another. This is evident in his loving to have the company of pets. He can pet the animal and feel the sensation of his hand across the soft pelt of the animal. The electrostatic energy rise from the fur, the eagerness of the pet to be stroked again and again, the pet's loving more and more attention, more and more sinuous response. When a man finds another human who responds in this sensuality, sensually susceptible manipulation, they meld together into a harmony of givingness, each totally desiring the experience. It is more the need or desire to be loved, to love, to give of oneself to another and have it returned, to be important, to be so important that another would only feel this great joy with our contribution to their experience. This is the true definition of sexual love. Man will continue to enter into his world, this world of illusion, as he continues to refer to a need which is far from real expression, that his being longs to enter into to be itself. It is purely an illusion, having only temporary quality about it. Just as the desire for food disappears as man turns to the spiritual reservoir within and eats from this eternal source of substance, which is totally his, so as man loves himself so deeply and inexorably that he finds satisfaction for his great desire to love, to share, to help, to listen, to have compassion, to be human, there will be a sensitive world resolve itself from his consciousness, and he will be free to be spiritually whole, being which he always has been. Many who have yet to recognize the purity and great peace which is born of being a master being will cry aloud, they must remain in the physical world, for this is where they belong. They must live in the sensitive experiences, for this is where they belong and are now, and can conceive of themselves being there alone. Ha! They will desire to remain at the human level of beingness, and this is their privilege, their choice, and their experience. Many masters have stumbled over sex. Many masters have ridden in consciousness to claim the truth about themselves, and they have found the high road to peace, power, and perfection. Then, as some of their followers, who have yet to achieve their spiritual coveted goal, fall in love with the master, the master succumbs to this sensual desires, for these truly still were his, and must again begin to reform his concepts about life, truth, and beingness. We take ourselves down from our pinnacle of awareness. I'll repeat that. We take ourselves down from our pinnacle of awareness. Others may draw upon us and desire us to be on this sidetrack, but it is totally we ourselves who have attracted this to our life. We have allowed ourselves to still apparently need this caring experience, this sensitive touching of the appearance of the physical body. And so long as we make this choice for ourselves, we pay the price of temporary lapse into being human once again, temporarily losing our vision of the wholeness which once blazed so brightly before us. Sex is good. Those who live on the human plane of life and are desiring for themselves the human attributes of being are certainly valuable and important in the scheme of things. But sexuality is a part of life that, though important, will leave off this prominence it once had for us. It is likened to learning any art. As we learn the art, we must be concerned with technique. As we learn the art, we must be concerned with technique. We must be concerned with details. We must be deeply involved with the manner in which it is done. Once we arrive at the skilled professional ability, which is sure to come, we leave off those other concerns which we once had and concentrate totally upon the effect we are creating by placing a specific cause in motion to bring that about. While sex has been a very definite and powerful part of our humanness, it is a detail, a technique, an aspect of achieving the skill of being which fades as we prove ourselves in the greater. Parenthetically, you might add here, with whom did God have sex to create all the beings? Should any man desire to experience sexual love while on the pathway to being that which he is, a master, it should be considered most usual, though it might in the minds of some detract from his effectiveness of a master. It is only in the minds of those limited individuals who are laboring so diligently within themselves to forget the technique and claim their mastership over all. For we would bless those who still breathe while we may have accomplished the technique of breathlessness. We would totally understand those who eat substance on the physical plane, whereas we might be enjoying eternal stuff. So too, we totally understand those who, on the physical plane, find a need in their life, in their being, for sexual encounters. Life is to be lived. The word overcomes totally worthless in the lexicon of mankind's language. For to overcome means that there is something which is less than beautiful, less than desirable, less than important. All of life is important. All aspects of beingness are virtually important, vitally important. There merely comes a time in life of a master where certain things which compelled him and held his attention are released, and he replaces them with other things. These other things which may require his attention are things like spending one's total time on introspection, looking to the center of one's being and claiming the purity, the wholeness, the goodness, the eternality, and totality of that which they are from their inner oneness. For while we at any time love another outside of ourselves, we are directing our attention and power away from our beingness. For while we at any time love another outside of ourselves, we are directing our attention and power away from our beingness. So long as we do this, the total energy which we are is yet to be focused in 100% upon our true goal. Once our total energy is focused on our ultimate reality, all that would detract us from this expression is closed in a book and placed upon the shelf of antiquity, finished. Now, in the coursework, the students are asked to write essays on various questions. And from the chapter on sex, which the students are expected to read 3 times a day and for 7 days, and then go on to the next chapter, the question is asked very misleadingly: define why sex is so alluring. Now, if you were a master, if you really work on master consciousness, you would say, but it's not alluring. However, if you are a human and you're working on the human consciousness, and that's where your thinking is, and that's where your being is, you'll answer like this one young man did. He writes, defining why sex is so alluring. Sex is the bridge, the first taste of the essence of God, oneself. Sex has this magical pull to its nature. Sex is the gateway to the universe. Without sex, human beings could never attain the understanding of oneness. The allure of sex is from the human psyche. It is an absolute attraction for the human being. That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
The smell, even though we may want to deny it, is the controlling factor. I say, you want to taste heaven? Think of the best sex you've ever had, and at the moment of its climax, you have just touched the essence of heaven. Well, that's quite lovely, quite beautiful from a human point of view, but hardly what the book was asking for. The book was asking for, are you on your spiritual path? Are you willing to let these attractions on the human path be set aside? Are you going to be hung up on them? So I wrote to the gentleman, Beloved James, your essay, Define Why Sex is So Alluring, is a magical report of a human and his response to his physical body. And that's just what it is. It's fine. You have explained why a human is so taken by the physical act of sex. Truly, sex is one of the dethroners of beings who had thought they had achieved the status of being a master. Sex is indeed alluring as an attraction to the human to remain human. This is specifically pointed out in chapter 6. As you read the chapter 3 times daily, for 7 days, you are enchanted with the concept that in selecting to be a master in all ways, we turn from the human delights to the spiritual revelation. There is nothing wrong with any human desire for a person who decides to live and act as a human. For the few who decide that the most exciting direction for their life is the divine birth, then all that is human fades away and its allure. Anything, as in anything, depending upon how sincerely one wants to live the divine path and experience its universal qualities, to that extent one will leave behind childish patterns for being fully divine. As the chapter declares, page 45, for while we at any time love another outside of ourselves, we are directing our attention and power away from being ourselves. You're working toward your doctoral certification. If you allow yourself to be distracted by the illusions of the physical world, however attractive and fun they may seem to be, you will not make the quantum leap possible from the appearance world to the allness. Ice cream and candy distract us by their temporary pleasure. So pleasures, physical pleasures, attract us from living principle and enjoying the benefits from being divinely directed. While sex is alluring, we understand how we can be drawn to the joy of being overwhelmed by the physical and lose sight of the ideal beings we are. Read the chapter 3 times a day at separate times for 1 week, and as you do this on your Mastercraft program, watch how you have an entirely different awareness and attitude about the fun of sex, eating, breathing, drinking, human relationships, and living in the human body. Take on an entirely different vibration for your life. You are a remarkable student. You are no longer an undergraduate. You are reaching out to claim your master being now. I love you, love you.
Beautiful.
So, this is what we should get when we read the book, you know. Mm-hmm. But we don't get it because we're not willing to shut up and let go. If I say, shut up, that means don't talk about it anymore. If you talk about it, you're digging your grave. If you talk about it, you're not listening to what I'm saying. Love everybody. When little children are having an argument, first thing mommy does is say, come on, let's have some ice cream. She wants to shut them up. She wants to take their mind away from the problem. And when she's got their mind away from the problem, then she can say to them, now what seems to be the problem here? You know? And they say, nothing. Well, what are you fighting about? Because we want to fight. We enjoy fighting. Well, I think there's better ways to do that. There's better ways to express yourself, to discuss what's going on, than fighting. Because fighting can only mean one of you is going to get hurt. Now, I'm going to give you each a hammer. And you're going to stand in front of each other and you're going to hit each other over the head with the hammer. And you just stand there and hit each other over the head. Who wants to start?
Oh, no, I don't want to hit that. That hurts.
Well, that's what fighting does. It hurts. All we want to do is to learn to talk to each other, to share with each other, and find out that at the end of a good discussion is a nice bowl of ice cream. So, you have to be able to lead, guide, move. You got to be able to let go.
Yeah.
And our friend here had a beautiful sexual experience that is in his mind very, very dominantly. And you think, wow, wow, wow. He doesn't remember that what led up to it and what came after it was where the beauty lay. Not the act of hitting yourself on the head with a hammer. It's when you stop that then it feels good. And this is how we all are. This is how we all are. We think that sex, food, water, liquor, relationships, we think all these things are good. But what is it, as I mentioned in my earlier area, who did God have sex with to have all of us?
Mit wem hatte Gott Sex, uns alle zu erschaffen?
Interesting, huh?
Interessante Frage.
And what did Jesus say we should do?
Und was hat Jesus gesagt?
He says, meditate, meditate, meditate.
Meditiere, meditiere,
he said,
meditiere.
Go within.
Geh nach innen.
And he said, let the dead bury the dead. Let the past be past.
Lass die Vergangenheit
if you sein. Keep hanging on to the past, you never grow. You'll never find your spiritual self.
Du wächst nie, wenn du in der Vergangenheit
and this is what it's all about.
Und darum geht es doch.
So when I say to you, shut up.
Und wenn ich sage, halt den Mund.
I'm only going to say it once.
Ich sag's nur einmal.
Because I don't need to get my blood pressure up.
All
I want to do is say, be quiet now. Peace.
Ich sage einfach, sei still,
peace.
Jetzt Friede.
And there is peace.
Und dann ist es Frieden.
So, are you all ready to take the course over again? For the things you might have missed?
Mm-hmm.
Be a good idea. So, you can send this out to James and tell him how much we appreciate the opportunity of working with him. And away he goes, you know. I got extra copies here to James. So, you're in charge, and sex is in the mind. Sex is oneness, as he said. Yes, oneness with our divine self. So go for it. And know that you will have the most happy feeling in your life when you find yourself in love with yourself, at peace with yourself, at one with yourself. I love you. I love you. I love you.